This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on Sticks In, very quick episode for you, but we wanted to do it because it is, for a lot of people, a pretty major story. A new set of PLL cards has been released. The 2023 Snapshot set is here. So we are going to talk a little bit about the cards themselves. I was lucky enough to get sent a couple of packs by the PLL that I was able to open up and so I could see the cards in hand and everything. So we'll talk about the cards themselves, what's in the set. We will talk with Todd Tobias, who is one of the lacrosse card OGs, and talk to him a little bit about the set itself, what it means in terms of secondary market, the collectibles, the value, growing the game through cards, growing cards within the game, all of that good stuff. This whole card business thing was new to me a couple years ago, where I grew up looking at cards and stuff, but I didn't understand that much else beyond you open the pack and you get the cards out of it until... Recently with the lacrosse card thing, I was very happy to connect with Todd Tobias about this, learn a little bit more. So we're going to talk about the set itself. We're going to talk to Todd. Let's do it. Welcome back. A little kind of just a quick episode here midweek for just to hit on something that I consider to be an important part of lacrosse and its growth is the lacrosse trading card scene. I did not appreciate how many people were involved and how intricate and how kind of big the industry was until the PLL started dabbling in it and everything. And then back in whatever, 2022, 2021, there was... a set of cards that had come from Topps that was a little where there were some snafus. You can go read about that on the internet. It's very, very findable. I wrote about some of it for me just on my Medium. And then I think Todd has referenced it a little bit in his writing for Lacrosse Culture Daily. But that kind of introduced me to it. And then with the set, the Topps flagship set that came afterwards was when I started pursuing the kind of the cards on my own and hunting down some cards and everything, streaking out cards of some of the players that I've loved over the years, that kind of stuff, and buying, getting into it then. And in the course of doing that, I've gotten to meet some very interesting people and people who have been doing this for a long time. And it's, you know, if it's in some cases, it's almost like their livelihood. So, that kind of takes us up to today. So the PLL launched as of this afternoon. They went on sale. The 2023 Snapshot set. So PLL has launched this thing called PLL Collectibles, which they are calling a new vertical for collectible memorabilia and merchandise. The first thing in it is this Snapshot set. So what does that mean? This is right from their release about it. A curated collection featuring all pro players, rookies, notable stars, and preserves memorable moments from the 2023 season. Set features autograph cards from the top 22 players, as well as 58 base cards and foil cards. And your chances of getting one of those, you know, specialty cards is 1 in 4. So if you buy 4 packs, you'll get at least one. You should get at least one. Otherwise, the odds were just very, very unkind to you. You can buy the cards now. The PLL sells them on the PLL site. You get a pack of 16 cards for $8, which isn't too bad. And when you consider that, you know, there's 58 cards in the set, you can probably collect a base set, you know, pretty readily with not too gigantic of an investment if that's all you're looking to do. Just get a little base set and that's it. The notable kind of thing about this is the lack of a partner, really. So I know from talking to folks, the PLL had been looking to try and get a partner. As we said, last year they had Tops for the flagship set. There were some rumblings about, you know, a possible connection between them and Panini, who is another card distributor, I guess you would call it. But it clearly that didn't kind of come to fruition. And ultimately, the PLL decides to do it themselves. They launch their own cards. So I guess, you know what? I guess the best way to do this is, I had a great conversation with Todd Tobias about all this stuff, because I didn't understand some of what this might mean in terms of perception. I didn't understand if it would affect the value of the cards, if there was just, you know, won the league and everything, the size of the set, is that good, bad, you know, the parallels, all that kind of stuff. Basically, the whole launch and the whole decision, I just didn't understand enough of it from an industry insider point of view on cards. So I went to the guy who knows everything, and that's Todd. Todd goes by at Tales from the AFL on Twitter, on X, whatever. He's a lives out in California, is a massive collector of lacrosse cards. He has currently, most recently, written a series of articles for Lacrosse Culture Daily about lacrosse cards in general, how long they've been around, how long that is will stun you. It's been decades. These cards go back a long, long way. All the different iterations of cards from, you know, way back when until up to today. His collection of cards is obviously massive. He also runs the website laxcardarchive.com. I believe he has a new article for Lacrosse Culture Daily on cards, probably about this PLL set, this new PLL set that's coming out. If you're listening to this on Thursday, it's coming out, I believe, today. So you should check out all of Todd's work if you're into cards or just trying to find your way to them, or this new set intrigues you, and learn a little bit about it. But let's just throw it over to that interview real quick of Todd and I discussing these cards a little bit.
Okay, so we're with Todd Tobias, who's the basically the guy you got to be talking to if you're talking lacrosse cards these days. Todd has been doing this for a very long time. He has quite the extensive collection. He has written a very, very good and interesting series of articles for Lacrosse Culture Daily on the lacrosse card world, its history, where it is now, where it's come from. I urge you to seek that out if you have not read it. It's very, very good. But Todd, thank you for jumping on for a minute.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Happy to do it.
So today was kind of the big day. All of the lacrosse card folks have been pounding the table, coming at the PLL for a while, saying, when are we getting our cards? When are we getting our cards? And the PLL has said, soon, 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 soon. And today is soon. So I guess kind of initial reaction to the announcement that the cards were here, and then the method that the PLL has decided to go with, which is to put the cards out themselves.
So first of all, you know, excitement that there's a new issue for everybody to collect, and something that we can all talk about, and that's always fun. You know, when there's something new for people to get excited about, I dig it. don't have a lot yet to say about the cards because I haven't seen any in hand yet. I'm supposed to get some. Should be arriving within the next hour, I guess, if the FedEx app is to be believed. But from what I've seen so far, images online and things like that, they look nicer than the sets have been in the past. So I think that's great. It sounds like there's a really expanded autograph lineup, which is solid. I mean, they've got more autograph parallels than they do base parallels, which is exciting. So I think that's great. You know, first glance is something fun, something exciting. I assume your question was kind of leaning towards when you said what the PLL is doing here. I assume it meant in regards to producing cards on their own.
Right. Yeah. There's no as we know for listeners in the past, or past sets have been done with Tops as a partner, and then this year with this edition, the PLL is putting out the cards themselves.
Correct. And, you know, there are positives and negatives, and it's really too early yet to say how this will all play out. Positives are that, you know, this allows a greater sense of flexibility for the PLL. They don't necessarily have to partner with a company like a Tops or a something else that you know, that is servicing multiple sports or non-sports entities, and you know, the PLL has to get a slot, time slot in as to when they're, you know, when they can produce a set. PLL will obviously have a lot more say in what goes into these cards. So I think flexibility is fantastic. that being said, cards are a lot more complex than they used to be. You know, when you and I were kids, Dan, basically we plunked down our 25 cents, got a pack of 15 Topps cards and a stick of bubblegum. There was no such thing as autos or inserts or relics or you know, gold foil or silver foil or any of these other things. And as well, there's a lot more of a direct connect now between trading cards and value. And those things make it so that you can't just design a pretty card, run it through a printer and say, that's it. You know, there's a lot more that has to go into this, a lot more thought process, a lot more planning, a lot more thought about what the end result is and how you want it to last over time in terms of being a collectible. So because the PLL no longer is relying on Topps to think of a lot of those things for them, then they have to be able to do those things if they want their cards to ultimately be something that's seen as a legitimate hobby genre long term.
Do you think it for the person who doesn't know anything about lacrosse but is a big time card enthusiast or collector or speculates on sports cards, that kind of thing, does it hurt in a sense that there's no Topps or no Upper Deck or Panini or anybody else attached to it? Does that take away legitimacy for that person who doesn't know lacrosse all that well? Would it scare them away? Or has there been enough in the card world of this kind of thing where it's really not that much of a negative?
Well, it has the potential to, certainly. You know, there are things such as, you know, third-party grading that factors into long-term hobby value and things like that. And that gets back to the PLL, you know, making sure they do their homework ahead of time and getting everything nailed down so that there isn't so much of a wide gap between the league and the hobby. To answer your question in general, I think that if the PLL does all those things that are required to popularize cards or legitimize cards within the hobby, I don't think that them specifically producing their own cards is going to be a negative. One thing that it will do, though, is it's going to be a challenge to get cards popular within the hobby outside of lacrosse fans, because one of the things that Topps did is, you know, if you have a Topps account, if you're a shop and have a Topps account, then you have to buy a certain amount of product. You know, you have to guarantee purchases to be granted an account. And so card shops, a lot of card shops had to order Topps lacrosse cards, the flagship issue from 2022. And they did that because of their contract with Topps, not necessarily because they wanted those cards.
Right.
So if that let's say forced purchase is removed, then it's more of a challenge to break into the greater hobby.
Right.
If you were with a Topps or an Upper Deck or something like that.
What does that do for scarcity of the cards, though? If the only people who are controlling them then are the lacrosse fanatic people like us, and the guy walking into his local card store never even sees these things because he doesn't come across them, and it's you know, does that change the value for someone who's then is, you know, love the top set but didn't realize that there wasn't a new one because they never saw it in the store, but they go on eBay or a secondary market and they see, you know, hopefully, as we say, you know, a graded or a PSA graded card from this set. They say, oh man, I didn't even know these were available. Now I can't get them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. It certainly makes it tough. I don't know that it will. I don't know that it will affect scarcity as much, but what it will do is it keeps the hobby confined. It keeps these cards confined to a much smaller collector base.
Right.
And you know, for the individuals that have them, I guess that's great because then, you know, they've got them. But distribution is going to be a challenge. And, you know, like, again, when we were kids, you know, we'd go to 7-Eleven or we'd go to the, you know, I'm out here in San Diego, you know, Long's drugstore or, you know, the gas station or wherever. And typically by the register, they had a box of cards and you could just pick them up and go. That's not necessarily the case anymore. The hobby's grown a lot more than it was back then. But there's a ton more product as well. There are more collectors, but there's a lot more product. There's a lot more for people to choose from. And, you know, while we are all lacrosse fans, you know, we like other things as well. We might like Star Wars. We might like Pokemon. We might like baseball. We might like all these other things that have cards. And so if cards are not, if lacrosse cards are not at the forefront, are not, you know, able for us to be readily seen, then they're going to slide by the wayside and the collector base is going to shrink. And right now it can't afford to shrink because it's not very big to begin with.
Right.
I mean, you know, there are passionate people, passionate collectors, and the lacrosse card collector base has certainly grown in the years since I've been involved. But it's still by no means large. You know, by no means is it pushing baseball, football, basketball, hockey, boxing, F1, any of that other stuff yet in terms of hobby popularity.
And so how do you kind of see this in terms of, like, this is our latest set, and it seems like you were pretty happy with what the PLL got out there. We have the base cards, we got the autos, there's seems like a healthy amount of inserts. It seems like they really tried to hit a lot of the notes that made the previous sets very popular with collectors.
That's true. You know, one of the things that we haven't seen yet is any kind of relic card. Those are popular with a lot of collectors. The combo of relic and signature on the same card is popular. But there again, this is the PLL's first run at doing their own card sets. So, you know, that's not to say that we won't see those things down the line. You know, once again, I don't have any of the cards in front of me, so it's hard to say. I haven't felt any. I haven't opened any packs or anything.
Right.
But just from what I've seen online, the design is far superior to the 22 flagship design. The parallels are more. There's a more robust difference between base and parallels. I think a lot of times with the 22 flagship stuff, people didn't always necessarily see if they got a parallel or not. I know I can speak for myself that I was sorting through my pile of commons after opening a case with my kids, and I found a one of one in there that I didn't recognize at first glance as being a one of one.
I did the same kind of thing. I opened up a bunch of those, and that's that also had the image variation ones, where there was no real way to tell if this was not the image that was a rarer, different image, unless you kind of knew to flip the card over and look at this big long number on the back that ended in a
which was about this big.
Which you needed a microscope. My old eyes needed a microscope to see it. But yeah, things like that for sure. You know, and now I should say I got a couple packs from the PLL and I have opened them, and I did get one of the parallel inserts. I got, you know, a Garrett Eppel card. Uh-huh. And it's definitely stands out. You will not miss it. It is foiled. The border on the 22 set, it was like a little corner was a different color.
Exactly. This,
the whole border is basically a different color. It shines. It's got a little more kind of, you know, look to it. And I will say also something that I noticed. I didn't notice it when I opened the pack, but I noticed it when I went to put the parallel in a sleeve, is the insert, the Garrett Eppel insert card, was significantly thicker than the other cards that were in the pack. Is that something that you see as like, oh no, this is bad. People are going to be weighing their packs and be like, oh, I got a pack that weighs this much. It's got to have a parallel in it. It's for sale, that kind of thing.
It's certainly a possibility. Yeah. You know, as ridiculous as it sounds, and believe me, I get it. It sounds ridiculous. There are untrustworthy people out there in the hobby that if they find the slightest inconsistency, they will absolutely exploit that. And weighing packs is definitely a thing. You know, how much that's bled into the lacrosse market yet is hard to say, but the possibility is certainly there. So
yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, that's something else. I was opening packs and I was talking to Michael Harrison, who's a big card guy, and we both noticed that within the packs, there seemed to be maybe like there were some collation issues, because we both noticed, all right, if you get Brian Tevlin, then that means Cole Kirst is next, and that means this, and these cards always appeared next to each other in groups of usually like two or three players who always appeared in a run together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been something that has happened on and off throughout the years. Basically, people, you know, they're one of the issues with cello packs, you know, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with cello packs, but cards used to come out in wax packages or what's called cello packs, which are basically a clear cellophane wrapper. And with certain sets, with certain brands, with certain years, there was a definite collation and people could memorize that. And, you know, they could flip through a box, a brand new unopened box, and say, okay, if they see one particular card from a run on the top of that cello pack, they know exactly what's going to be inside that pack. And therefore they could pull the, you know, top rookies or whatever, if they had this information available to them. It's a little bit less of an issue in cards, the way they're packaged with the PLL, because you really can't see,
right?
There are no hints as to what the collation is until you actually open the pack. But you know, if it gets to the point where you're getting the same pack all the time, that's certainly a frustration for collectors. You know, people want to be able to complete their base sets. They, you know, they don't want 25 of the same player and two yeah. of another player, you know. It's just it and you know, unless maybe it's, you know, a Sisselberger rookie or something like that, but they get 25
yeah,
of them.
I'll take as many of them as I can get. Yeah.
Right. But generally speaking, you know, we like a little bit better balance.
And last thing about the set itself, I guess, I think it's 58 different players in it. And then, you know, obviously a number of autos and parallels and everything down to, I think the rarest thing you can find in the set is a one of one of a player or a one of one auto of a player. Mm-hmm. Is 58 a size or a pool of players that feels maybe too small? Does it feel like it should have been bigger? Is this like it's our first run, so let's see how it goes and then we'll go bigger? Or is this like a typical kind of number for, I guess, a card set in the sports world?
Well, once again, we're dealing with a newer sport that is relatively new to having cards. The flagship set that we got in 22 was the first time that we've ever really seen a full-blown card set like that for lacrosse. I mean, I take that back. We had the 2019 Parkside set for the MLL, but you know, that kind of went away when the MLL did. So I guess to answer your question, it depends on what we're going to see in the future. So I could see the PLL doing something along the lines of running a, you know, a flagship type set during the season and then supplementing at the end of the season with an all pro and a rookie set like we've got now. If we're going to stand alone on a 58 card set, I say that it's far too small. And it's limiting as well to the PLL in terms of how they want to sell cards and different marketing strategies that they can employ. But, you know, so as a standalone, it's too small. But as a supplement to other things that may be coming down the line, I mean, obviously we're not going to get a 2023 flagship set at this point. But right. maybe we'll get a 2024, and then we'll get a 2024 58 card set that shows all the all pros and all of the rookies. You know, right. baseball and football used to do what were called traded sets or update sets at the end of the year. So Topps would put out their 792 card, what would be a base set, you know, during the regular baseball season. And then in, let's say, September or October, they'd put out what they called a traded set. And that was a 132 card set that included rookies that had not didn't have cards in the regular base set, and players that had maybe been traded during the year, so they could be seen in their new uniforms. The way that I look at the lacrosse cards, the set that they put out today is like a traded or an update set.
Right, right.
So, so I guess I gave you a very long answer.
No, that's a good answer.
You know, bottom line is, as a supplement, I think this is fine. But as a single run, I think we need.
I think to your point earlier about one of the positives of the PLL doing the cards themselves and being able to just kind of, you know, get them produced. And I think Mike Rabel had kind of mentioned it on social media, was we can get to like a regular schedule of cards. We can just kind right. of put out the things we want to put out. And I think that makes it easier to get to the place where you do the flagship for 2024. And, you know, if we get to a place where we're doing a flagship and then a supplemental thing at the end, I think that would be a great sign that lacrosse cards have certainly come a long way.
Agreed completely. And there's so much that is yet to be done in the world of lacrosse that can be done, that can be a lot of fun for collectors, that can drive hobby enjoyment, that can grow hobby participation, and as well can begin to teach some of the history of lacrosse, recognize some of those players that, you know, on occasion we'll see a clip of, you know, somebody will dig up, like a Dan Arestio will dig up and post on Twitter. And, you know, half the world's like, sweet, that guy looks pretty good, but I don't know who the hell he is, because it's so hard to find lacrosse information.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It never occurred to me to try and attach history, particularly of like the pro level of the pro lacrosse game, which is, as you said, like the archives for it and the history of it at this point is pretty kind of scattered about. There's not a whole lot from, you know, certain eras and things like that. So cards being a way to kind of trace that is certainly something that makes it worth pursuing.
Absolutely. And the sport has such a rich history and, you know, I mean, so many different entities that you can represent. And, you know, we've got men's, we've got women's, we've got box, we've got the indigenous influence. We've got so much available to us that's ripe for the picking. I mean, and as well, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, Dan, but I collected a ton of cards when I was a kid.
And I did too.
I learned, you know, so many of my basic math skills came from collecting cards. Yeah. I mean, figuring out batting averages or earned run averages, or, you know, learning how to sort and collate and do things like that. I mean, these are all basic skills that we all need to live, that, you know, maybe they've been pushed over by technology, but, you know, there's still really, really good stuff that can come from cards, really important stuff. And, you know, I really hope the PLL recognizes that and wants to jump in with both feet and start producing that kind of stuff.
I remember being as a kid going to in elementary school, but going to the card store, whatever, buying a pack of basketball cards with a buddy of mine, and his dad brought us. We each got a pack of cards. They opened theirs. They weren't all that excited about what they got, but I opened them, going through mine. And there's an Alonzo Mourning rookie. I still remember it. Huh? Alonzo Mourning rookie card in my pack of cards. Yeah. And I was like, I kind of loosely followed basketball a little bit. I didn't know all that much. I was like, oh, cool, a rookie card. My buddy's dad was like, Alonzo Mourning rookie card. Oh, my God. And it, like, stuck with me. I was like, this is exciting. This is cool.
Yeah.
This is fun, yeah. You know. This is something I'm gonna like. Now I'm like, even in my little like elementary school brain, I'm like, I'm assigning value to this. Like, this is something that's important that I want to hang on to. That I, you know, that I have like an attachment to between me and the sport and the hobby now. And I, you know, I still remember that. So it's one of the reasons I still, you know, still care about cards.
And you know, one of the great things about professional lacrosse and, you know, I've grown up around baseball and football my entire life. I've you know, I've written about sports my entire life and gotten to know a bunch of different athletes. I want professional lacrosse to grow and these players to be able to make livings, you know, playing lacrosse. But I hope that it never gets as big as an NBA or an NFL or a Major League Baseball, because the amount of interaction today between a pro lacrosse player and a kid is still very strong. You know, it's these kids can go out to camps. These kids can go to PLL games and see their favorites and take their cards and get them signed and have interactions. And those other sports have grown so big that that kind of interaction is almost impossible anymore. And you know, cards can just be another tool for connecting kids to, or you know, fans, but kids to these players and building that love and building that adoration and everything that I think everybody wants out of this league and out of this sport.
Yeah, you know, I thought of the same kind of thing with the specifically with bring your card to the game, get it signed. I, you know, the a thing I like about this is I'm sure these things will be this new set will be sold at all of the PLL weekends and their merch store that's on site and when they play at these places. And not every kid who shows up might have the $80 or whatever it is to buy a jersey to get that signed. But you know what? All the kids showing up are going to have $8 for a pack of cards. And you open them up and you get some players on there who are going to be on the field in front of you while you're there. And you can go get your card signed. It's, you know, you can go get your autograph and all that stuff. And those connections are super important. I harp on it all the time, but the key, I think, to the growth and to pro lacrosse really developing is that the players have to be the star of the show. They have to, that's what people are coming to see. You have to make them stars in any way that you can. And one way you do that is with things like this, where a player can go meet or a kid can go meet the player. And, you know, it grows the player's legend that way that, you know, I went and I saw Josh Burton. He signed my card. It was awesome. I want to go back and see him next week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to get back to your prior question about whether this set is big enough, this 58 card set is big enough. You know, one of the things that you know, I briefly mentioned to, I've been talking to merch guy Matt a little bit. you know, one of the things that I asked him prior to my understanding what this set was going to be in terms of 58 cards, I said, well, you know, are you guys going to be selling team sets at you know, the games? And you know, in my mind, if you can go to a game, a team set is you know, basically all of the guys on one team, all the base cards of a guys of for a single team. So and oftentimes Tops or Upper Deck would produce, you know, all of the San Diego Padres. I can go to a card shop here in town and buy a design pack of all the San Diego Padres from 2024 Tops.
Right.
So if the PLL did that and they showed up to their game weekends, you know, and they've got whatever teams are playing, if they've got the team sets alone, you know, for those players, kids don't necessarily have to buy a random pack and get 16 cards of all different people. They could go and buy all the base cards of the Redwoods or all the base cards of the Chaos and then have that full set to run around and try and get autographs. Then it just builds the interaction even more.
Love that. Yeah. Love, I hope that works. I hope that comes together, but I love that. Absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you taking a few minutes here with me to talk through this new set. I hope your cards arrive soon. You're able to open some up and have a look. I hope you, good luck to you and you get some good woods in there and some other good cards of yours that I'm sure you're hunting down. So thank you again, Todd, for taking the time.
Anytime. Happy to do it.
Awesome.
All right, some great stuff from Todd there, and I think that's kind of, you know, really what I was keen on sharing with everybody was Todd's point of view here, and I wanted to obviously get it myself. I will say there's a couple of other things I think that are worth noting here. I had that conversation with Todd before his cards came. His cards came after we spoke, and one thing that we noticed as far as that discussion about collation, meaning we're seeing kind of people who've opened packs so far are seeing specific groups of players occur together. I know when I opened the three packs that I got, that I had very little repetition of players. I got, you know, two Ryder Garnsey cards, these are all just base cards, two Ryder Garnseys, two Zach Couriers, two Piper Bonds, and then I technically got two Garrett Eppels, but one was a parallel. So, and then the rest of my cards were unique. Todd's three packs, it was duplicate city. He got, of the, you know, 16 cards a pack, three packs, 48 cards. I think he said 8 of his cards weren't a duplicate. They were unique, and then every other card he got, there was, you know, another, at least one other copy of, including, you know, 2, 3, 4 copies of something. So it seems like there could be some collation things that people are going to maybe start to notice, or you know, how that kind of works out is interesting. I think the way that kind of manifests is for the people who want to, this is just my kind of read on it. If you're trying to collect just like a base set of cards, just the 58 cards, forget the autos and trying to hunt down the rare stuff. You just want one of every card in the set. It might take more than just buying a couple of packs to get there, even though it's only 58, because if there's a collation thing and you wind up with three packs like Todd did, you buy, you know, you get 48 cards, but only whatever, 15 of them are unique, and you're trying to get to 58. See, you know, it's challenging. You heard the discussion people were looking at, like with the cellophane pack, where you could map what was where, and that can't happen here. The way the packs come is in basically like a cellophane sealed cardboard box, and then inside that in foil is the a secondary kind of package for the cards themselves. But for the folks trying to do a lot of collecting of just the base cards, it might be hard to scare up the exact one you want. The only other thing I would say is, and it's interesting because I'm technically in this group of people, but there's obviously everybody who got sent packs ahead of time. I'm very grateful to have gotten them. Kind of opened their packs up today and shared them on social as part of like the, you know, we love these cards. We want to share what we got. We want to get other people excited about getting them. We want the cards to keep getting made. So by doing this, hopefully other people buy some cards, love some cards, and we get more cards in the future. So I got some, a couple of other folks, like Todd got packs, and I'm sure they're sharing what they opened on social. There were a few other people who opened some cards on social. One of them is kind of the one that I think, you know, is worth kind of, I'm going to mention it not because I think it's an indication of anything that has gone awry, but I don't want to preface this like this is doom and gloom thing. So the PLL folks were at Barstool headquarters, and they had one of the Pardon My Take guys, Jake Marsh, who also calls the games sometimes for the PLL, open a pack of the new cards, and he gets a Michael Sowers autograph, a numbered autograph out of 25, which is a fairly rare card, not like a super incredible oh my god chase card, but the appearance of the league gives a pack of cards to the team's, you know, in quotes, owners, you know, celebrity endorser, whatever, and he opens it, and by god, he gets the team's most popular player autographed, numbered, oh my god. The appearance, just the appearance of, we made sure he got it so we could do this and get a cool video out of it, is I'll call it a dangerous game. I don't think it's anything to be bad worried about here. I don't think that's what happened here at all. But the appearance of it can scare people, because the card industry, and I didn't know this until recently, has had issues where There are whole accounts on YouTube and on social that are just dedicated to buying the new really cool pack of cards and opening up a box of them, or, you know, a case of them, whatever, on their channel for people to see the new card and all that. And they get big followings by doing this. And there have been instances where there is legit concern that the card manufacturer just so happened to send one of these very, very popular card-breaking accounts a box of cards to open, and oh my God, it's got the super rare, you know, LeBron James card in it. It's got the unbelievably rare Shohei Ohtani card in it. Can you believe it? Oh my God. Look at how cool this is. I opened it and I got this. And the suggestion has been made in some cases that that has been done deliberately, that they send the card to somebody who has a big following so that they can open the super cool card to show it to everybody on their huge following and get you excited in the cards. I don't think that's what happened here, but just like the fact that that is, people are concerned about that thing in the lacrosse world, or in the, I shouldn't say that, in the card world, excuse me, not in the lacrosse world. People are concerned about that in the card world. For the again, if you're trying to grow this with collectors who might be just kind of curious about it, them seeing that kind of thing, could it make somebody nervous about doing it? I don't know. Are they worried that that's the kind of thing that goes on? I don't know. So, again, like I got three packs of them today. I opened them, I shared what I got, and I got some, you know, I didn't get anything super spectacular. I got a couple of base autographs, and I got a Garrett Eppel numbered parallel out of 77. Right. And then Michael Sauer is autographed at a 25. Look, is that card worth more than $100? Probably. But that's not like an alarming kind of thing. Right. If he pulls the one of one Michael Sauer's and it's autographed and all that, then you're like, what in the world is going on here? Nobody's that lucky. Nobody is that fortunate. But that's not what happened. So I only bring it up because I think it's difficult, or it can be difficult, for something like lacrosse to market these, because there's a challenge where you want these people pushing these cards out. You know, they got Bailey Carlin pulling a card, and he got a numbered Matt Rambo. Awesome. You need to have that happen to draw people in, to make people aware, especially when it's cards that you made yourselves, for the reason Todd explained, right? Because the cards, these won't be in your local card store. Nobody's just going to stumble upon them. So you need to be out there on social with people who are you know, influencers, for lack of a better word, who can share these, and that's that. But you also need to be careful that they don't get anything that's too good. They don't get anything that's like, if they open something and it's like alarmingly good, like, oh, we sent the advanced pack to somebody and he got a one of one Michael Earhart card. Well, did you do it on purpose? Are we worried? Are you scared? Even if you didn't, just, again, the appearance of impropriety is so important to avoid. So I only bring that up as one other kind of thing I thought was interesting over the course of the day today. I wondered how that would go. Didn't really get a chance to talk about it too much with Todd, but, I still thought it was something that was interesting to me for sure. But, look, I thought super fascinating conversation with Todd. I think the cards are awesome. I really do. I opened mine up today, and I immediately thought the quality of these, just the feel of them in my hands, was better than the cards I got from Topps a year ago, significantly. As I mentioned to Todd, when you got a parallel a year ago, meaning one of like the numbered cards that looks a little bit different, the way they were made last year, you could very easily not even realize you got one. These, you cannot miss them. They are very, very cool looking. They're foiled. The full border is colored. They look outstanding. So the quality of these cards has been great. I got the three from the PLL. I immediately went and bought more because I want to have more of these. I really think they're good, and they're worth, you know, I think $8 for 16 cards and a 1-of-4 pull rate is a good investment. You want to, you know, throw a little money at it. So if you have kids who are going to take to a game, buy them a couple packs. Maybe they get a player they like. As Todd said, we don't have that, like, that team set thing that he was talking about. Sounds awesome. I wish we could do that. But, I bought more because I think they're really cool. The quality has stepped up. I love the idea that that they're going to be on a regular schedule with them, because they don't have to go begging to Topps or begging to Panini or trying to work it all out every time that people are slamming the table for a new set. So overall, look, does it, I think the jury is probably going to remain out for a little bit on, is it good, is it bad that they don't have a major partner like Topps, Upper Deck, Panini, whoever. I personally, as of this moment, just looking at the cards as somebody who just kind of likes getting them, I don't really think it matters all that much. And it sounds like in the collectible world, not having a third-party partner isn't a big deal. I think the key is you want to see PLL and PSA get together so that PSA, you know, recognizes this set of cards. You can send them in to be graded and that kind of thing. That's kind of what brings the legitimacy that I think people are after the most. So I would love to see that happen. I hope that's in the works. I did shoot a quick note to the league asking if that was in the works, but I haven't heard back yet. That was this afternoon, so, you know, take some time, I guess. But, yeah, look, I think the cards are cool. I was happy to talk to Todd about them. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. I will see you on Friday. If you're listening to this on Thursday, new episode's going to come tomorrow because we got a weekend preview to do here. We got some national championships to hand out this weekend. It's Memorial Day. So look for that, and then start looking for PLL team previews are going to start dropping on StixIn.com. I mean, like, we're like 2 weeks out from games here, folks. We are right around the corner for the PLL season. So thank you for coming back and for sticking around with me and sticking around with Todd today on StixIn, and we will see you tomorrow. Take care.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture, and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.